ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Okay, so then here we're getting this technical in-between, because there's always an in-between when you get from day to night, then you have to go through the sandhya. So this is where we're getting from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. So the point he's making here, Jiva Goswami, is that this in-between should not be taken as a goal, and one should not be proud to be in that place. Right? Because now we're talking about means in general, of course, for the neophyte, we're discussing that the Supreme Lord, it's very clear, he's the goal. But for the Madhyama, then we're describing that the process that one's using to get to the goal shouldn't become overly prominent. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you go into the kitchen and to cook you have to use a knife, but it shouldn't be now you get into a knife fetish. Does that make sense? You know, oh, we're quite into the knife and so many knives and everything's about the knives and everything. No, it's about the cooking. Does that make sense? Because the tendency is whatever we deal with, we become attached to. You know? Does that make sense? It's a very... When you're using the intelligence isn't attached. That's important to note. It's the mind that's attached. Intelligence will simply point out what's there. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I can point out, okay, this is a green cheddar, that's a red cheddar. Okay? But if I am attached to, I like red better or green better, that's the mind. Right? Does that make sense? The sense actually just discerns what's there. The mind decides that what it's discerning it likes or doesn't like. Okay? Does that make sense? So this process, though it touches the realm of the mind, meaning, in other words, the senses and the sense objects, the intelligence, though, is supposed to be a little more prominent. That's why it's called buddhi yoga. Right? So now in this buddhi yoga, that you're going to deal with all this metaphysical aspect, but you're not going to get attached to it. Right? Just like getting attached, it's foolish getting attached to the gross body, because it's the soul that actually makes it attractive, right? We're attached to the gross body that we call friends and family, but it's actually the soul is there that makes it important, right? When the soul goes, then the body, no one's interested. Does that make sense? So in the same way as the step in between, still the soul and the body, the subtle, that's also to be left. Just because it's more subtle doesn't mean that it's something also to become attached to. Does that make sense? Because otherwise the metaphysical, it's more subtle, it's more intellectual, it's more interesting, it's seemingly higher, it has the elements of refinement, you have to have understand it. There's so many things that you could find in a pride or an identity in. Right? I would say there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on the planet today that pride themselves in, New Age pursuits. Right? That they see things others don't see or understand things that others don't know about. Does that make sense? Right? So it's very important that one is able to move through it very carefully. Like if I want to get from where I am on the ground to a door up on the first floor, I have to go through the stairs, right? But if I become attached to the stairs, will I go through the door? No, I'll stay on the stairs. And in fact, if I'm attached to the stairs, am I going to actually progress up the stairs? No. If I'm attached to the stairs, will I stand here? Just think. Will I stand on the stairs facing the door? Or will I turn around and the people on the ground start pontificating to. Right? So in other words, progress will stop and you will try to get the attention and affections of those who are farther behind. And especially of those who don't know the stairs exist. Right? Others on the stairs, then it'll be a chivalry. But those not on the stairs, they're the ones that we will get all your emotional interface with. Does this make sense? Right? So, therefore, Jiva Goswami is making this point, is that the universal form should not be taken as the ultimate shelter. It's used as a shelter because it is Krishna. Right? So right now we're taking the fallible soldiers of this material world to be a shelter, but actually the potency within that fallible soldier that actually is important to us, that's Krishna. Right? The child is so cute and affectionate. That cuteness and that affectionateness is Krishna. Right? Not the body. Because the soul is just there for the ride. So that potency is put into them. Because otherwise, so many kids are there, so many, but not necessarily all are cute or all are affectionate. So, and they have basically same heads, arms, this. Some of them even look nice. Right? Isn't it? So that means Krishna's cuteness potency and his affectionate potency are there, and that soul wants to experience those, therefore they are party to it. Does that make sense? Yes.
So when the cuteness or the quality in another body, if the soul that is in that body is not thinking, I am this cuteness, they're accepting that this quality, this cuteness is Krishna's potency and not theirs. Yeah. Is that when the relationship can be kept on nice exchanges without attachment on both parts?
Yeah. It's been an example, yeah. And this, and then on what we were saying before about it might seem strange, but no, but it's the living entity. Let us say that we are, you know, standing on, say, you know, on Broadway, right? Okay, now there's 10 dramas going on at once. Right? And so we choose one of them because out of interest. So we go into that theater. We therefore see that drama. But are we that drama? No. But we've chosen that. We had 10 choices. Does that make sense? So because the living entity has these particular desires in the heart, it wants to experience that particular drama. Therefore, the modes of nature will put them in that particular body and family and country and situation that they will see that drama. Does that make sense? Okay? Yeah.
We said that the qualities of the human being come from Krishna because he is the reason for everything. And more than that, he's the supreme person, so all the nice qualities. He's got the supreme ones. So, what can we say about the spiritual master? We have to look at him as God. You know, we have to.
Yeah, it means as representative of.
Even though his qualities are.
It's like this. You have a machine, and that machine needs electricity, right? Yeah. Is the electricity produced by the wire? It's produced by the generator, right? Now, let us say the wire is a good wire. You get more potency. It's an okay wire. You may get less, but you're still getting electricity. Understand? This is a very important point. Our own external view of things, that's what gets in the way of this problem. Because we put it that if there's any means, perfection means no fault. Right? But that's not actually what perfection means. It's a faulty, it's something created, it's always created by the living entity, but there's the idea is that if it's perfect, there'll be no problem. But the moon is considered beautiful, but it has spots. Right? Sun is so powerful and bright, it has spots. Right? So the point is if the potency is greater than the spots, and despite the spots, the potency is being delivered to you, then it works. Right? Because this is not an impersonal process. This is a personal process in which God and his associates interface with other living entities to deliver everybody else. So it's a pastime in which the living entities take part in. Right? Does that make sense? So then what's important is how good they are. Just like, let us say, like here again, go back to the theater. You have an actor. Actor themselves may or may not have the qualities of that personality that they are representing. Right? But if they can put those qualities aside and play the part, the drama works. Right? No one is saying, yes, you have to have, you know, had so many daughters and been through this and that and had them die and this and that, then you can play King Lear. Right? No. You just have some guy who can pull it off, knows the lines, can project this problem, then it's there. One may say that's artificial. But then one would then have to prove that the soul being in the material world, being in the body and identifying with that body, how they think it is real. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you're working within a lie. And that lie applies to everybody in the material world. It's a lie. Nobody is what they think or say they are. Absolutely nothing. There's just pure spirit souls that belong in the spiritual world. So the point is then within that, what aspects of, if you take that lie and use it in the Lord's service, it works. Right? You have a criminal. You have a bunch of criminals. One of them somehow or another decides this is not so good. He works for the government. But he still moves in the streets and moves with the criminals. And to do that, generally he has a few qualities that they have. Or at least, if not, he can emulate them very well. So now, even though he's, you know, talking dirty and doing all kinds of stupid things, will you say that that's bad? Or will you say that that's good? Because the purpose of it is then they bring in those souls that are deviant under the power of the authority.
You have no choice, actually.
There is no choice.
No. Or that you're living the lie, or you're using the lie for
God, that's your choice.
That's all you have.
That's all you have. But because it's so stark, and because the nature of it, it can unnerve people, because whatever they say is truth is actually a lie. It's not emphasized too much. We're bringing it out here because it's in the chapter, but that's one out of 300. Right? It's one out of 300. So it will come up. It will come up again here and there, because the universal form will come up, creation will come up. But the point is this is in its starkness that it's all nonsense. So now your choice is, do you want to go on in your nonsense or engage your nonsense in the Lord's service? But now we have to understand is, if we're engaging our nonsense in the Lord's service, then why can't someone else engage their nonsense in the Lord's service? But the tendency is, I can engage my nonsense, but everybody else must be perfect. Right? This is a flaw. Right? This is not broad-minded. This is actually narrow-minded. Right? Because the point is everybody here has the same problem. What the problem is, it's different. But basically you can boil it down to eating, sleeping, mating, or defending. It won't be much outside these four. Right? Or are you lust, anger, greed, envy, attachment, illusion? You could throw them into the milieu also. Right? So everybody has the same problems. It's just what's the proportion, what's the degree. This doesn't mean that there's not a duty or to endeavor to function at one's best. But there's always this dual vision of the same thing, is that there's my vision of it and there's the other person's vision of it. Does that make sense? In other words, the spiritual master or the advanced devotees are doing their best. So they're not just sitting back, like we were saying. They don't stop on the stairs and turn around. They're trying to get up through that door. All right? But that they're on the 10th step instead of on the 20th step in front of the door, that's not a fault. Because at least they're on the 10th step. But if they become proud, then you can say, well, you're only on the 10th step, you're not on the 20th step. Right? But for those standing on the ground, or those on the first step, then the 10th step's pretty good. And that they got to the 10th step, they can get you to the 10th step. Right? They may not be able to get you to the 11th step, but as long as they keep progressing, then as you get to the 10th step, they'll be up farther, so they can help you. And if they don't, they end up stuck on the 10th step, then somebody else is on the other steps. Then you just switch and then continue there. Does that make sense? That's the process. It means it's been removed something from its emotional pleasantness, but that's the reality, yes.
So I have a point that also devotees are like cup of rickshaw trees. Whatever they want, we will get from them. We want bad, then we get bad. If we want good, then we get good.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because ultimately, this point of finding fault, people found fault in Krishna.